Hello, and welcome to Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to the series, Living as the Bride. And now with the Word, here is Beverly.
I've so enjoyed ministering this Word to you this morning, and let's just bow in prayer. Father, we bless you today. You're so wonderful, and you're so much fun to be with. You really are. And we love being with you. We just love being with you. I thank you for all of these precious folk that you brought this morning. And I pray the rich blessing of the Lord upon each one. Lord, the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. I pray for the ministry of your Holy Spirit to come and minister to us this morning. Make the Word of God alive in our hearts. Lord, make it so vibrant within us. May it burn like a fire within us. May such hunger for you be stimulated within our hearts today. And I bless you and I give you praise and glory. And I invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and flow through this place like a mighty gushing river, washing away all the debris, washing away all the junk, washing away all the hurts of the past and all the little things that the walls that the enemy has tried to put up around our hearts, smashing them. All the yokes and all the bondages just being removed from off of our spirit man. And Lord, that we'll be free and we'll just be able to open up to you like a sunflower does on a glorious spring day, summer's day. Just open up to receive your love and receive your warmth and receive your acceptance. I bless you today, Lord. Praise your name. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, who of you enjoyed kerfuffling yesterday? Somebody asked me this morning, now, what was that word you said we had to do? It's kerfuffle. You know, ask me how to spell it. Ask my husband how to spell it. Just spell it like you say it. And for those of you who weren't there, what it means is just being, the Lord is wanting to draw you into intimacy with Him. He wants to hide you in the cleft of the rock. Remember, we looked at that yesterday in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 13, 14. He says, oh, come, my beloved, my dove, my precious one. He used all these wonderful words. Rise up in the morning. Let's spend our day together. And slap bang there in the middle of the day, he says, I want to be intimate with you. I want to walk with you. You know, the other day we were praying and with some folk in our home. And as we were praying, we were asking the Lord for direction for the future. And I had this vision of, you know how when you walk in mud or like, you know, thick mud and then it dries. And how the footprints are still there and they're thick. And I mean, they're just there like absolutely forever. And I had this vision of just walking in these big footprints that had been set out in concrete before us. I want to tell you, your path, the path that the Lord has for you, has been formed and fashioned and purposed from the foundation of the earth. God loves you. And I hope that over this week you've realized that God doesn't have any favorites. I want to tell you, I'm not more his favorite than John, and John's definitely not more his favorite than I. I want to tell you, I feel like I am God's favorite, and I'm no more special to God than you are. You are, if you know him and you love him as your Savior and Lord, you are special to him. He's put his favor upon you. And Jeremiah says in this verse I've quoted every single day this week, he will never turn away from doing you good. The devil wants to do you evil, but God wants to do you good. And so it's wonderful. So the Lord says, oh, come away, my beloved. You're his bride. I want to walk with you as a bride. I want to be right there with you. But you know what? We face one major problem. And it's found in verse 15 of chapter 2 of Song of Solomon. Right after after verse 14, where it says, oh, let me see your form, let me hear your voice. He says in chapter 2 and verse 15, she says this, catch the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. I want to tell you, if you hadn't known this before, if you didn't know it before, we do have an enemy. And the problem is with many of us, we don't recognize him. You know, if he had to come into our lives in a little red figure with a big fork, you know, poked with little horns sticking up here and a long red tail, we think, that's the devil, I know him, get away from me, Satan, I resist you, get out the door. But we don't recognize him when he comes in little subtle ways, little foxes. The enemy has prepared jillions of little, if there's such a word, jillions of little foxes to come and eat at your vineyard, eat at your life. And he comes in and the little foxes are called offenses, attitudes, little bits of unforgiveness that we allow to harbor in our hearts. You know, if there's ever a day, and my brother and sister, this is a very serious word that I have to, I felt so compelled of the Lord to leave with you this morning. It's this: we cannot allow the luxury of any unforgiveness or wounded spirit or feeling like, you know, like that person's hurt me and I'm just going to shun them. We cannot allow unforgiveness in any form or in any fashion in our life. It's the little bit of leaven that'll leaven the whole lump. One little bit of unforgiveness in your heart will eventually infiltrate your whole life. And you and I both know we've come across people that have got these walls around them. You know, when they hug you, they don't hug you. There's not a warmth in them. They just pat you on the shoulder. Or you can look in their face and you can see the walls around them. And they say, oh, well, I love you, but you know they don't mean it, not with anything. Because the walls that they've placed around them. I want to tell you, those walls are built one little brick at a time. And the little bricks are called unforgiveness. It starts in little ways. Last year I'll just give you one little illustration from our life. We were in Oklahoma in Anadarko having a meeting there. And John and I like to walk in the mornings, and we'd gone walking. And the night before, he had made me really mad. He'd done two things. He doesn't even know about this. But he'd done two things to me that night. We'd gone out to eat with a preacher and his wife the night before, the evening before after the meeting. Excuse me. And twice during that conversation, he'd made me mad. I don't know, I might have had PMS or something like that, you know. That's very possible, because at that time of the month, I'm definitely more hairy than others. I mean, you know what that means, be more hairy. You just like my bristles grow. Am I making you blush? It's okay. You know, I mean, I'm being real to you, because that's the only way I need to know to be. But anyway, he'd made me mad twice that night. Now, I had a choice right there. I could allow the enemy to take those bricks of unforgiveness and plant them deep in the soil of my life. Or I could say, Satan, I recognize you. This is your plan. This is your purpose. You want to destroy unity, harmony. And I will not give in to you. So the next morning, we're out walking, and I'm still feeling, I mean, when it happened, I said, Lord, I just choose to forgive him. But you know, I was still, there was just this little thing inside here. And I want to tell you something. We got to watch our mind. We got to watch our thoughts. So we're out walking the next morning, and I'm still feeling these little bits of, you know, I'm still a little bit mad with him. I'm still giving him the cold shoulder a little bit. You know how, ladies, how you do that, you know. Made you mad, you've got to settle down a little bit, you give him the cold shoulder. And so I'm walking, and the Spirit of God quickens this verse to me, of verse 15 of chapter 2. He said, Beverly, you've got a choice. Two little foxes have burrowed under the fence and are chewing at your vineyard right now. I mean, I saw them. They were boogers. They were just about this big. They had long, furry tails. I saw it. I mean, I was walking and I had this open vision before my mind. And the Spirit of God said to me, get the butcher's knife and cut off their tails. I mean, you know, that's just what he said. He didn't say cut off their heads. He said cut off their tails. So by the Spirit, I said, in Jesus' name, I recognize the work of the enemy in this, trying to cause disharmony between us. And I take that butcher's knife and I cut off their tails and I slay them in the name of Jesus. Because I want to tell you, it starts with little bitty things. You know, none of us, those of you even who've had perhaps divorces in your past or whatever, when you got married, you thought this is forever till death us do part. But it's the little foxes, and little thing builds on another little thing and another little thing and another little thing before it's an absolute mountain. And you thought, where were those blissful honeymoon days over here? Why have I got this mountain of irreconcilable differences? It started one little stone at a time. One little fox ate at your vineyard, little bit at a little bit. I want to tell you, these are days when we cannot allow any offense. Give each other space to fail, but deal with unforgiveness. John has a set of tapes out there, and I'm not trying to sell him tapes. We give away more tapes, I think, than we sell. We're not in it for the money, I want to tell you. We're not in the ministry for the money. But he's got, there's about maybe 8 or 10 tape sets left on freedom of forgiveness. And I wish we could, if you buy one, make copies and give them to everybody. Nothing's copyrighted. You can distribute it as much as you like. But that set of tapes will absolutely set you free. If you've got these three things in your life, you might say, well, unforgiveness, you know, I don't feel any unforgiveness towards anybody. I mean, and we examine our emotions. We think, I don't feel any unforgiveness. And that's, but that is not how you determine whether you have unforgiveness or not. According to Matthew 18, and John goes into this all in the tapes, if you have got the enemy, if you've got unforgiveness, he puts you in prison. And if there are relationships that are severed in your life, how many of you know the enemy is out to sever relationships in the body of Christ? If there's anybody, if they had to walk into this room today and you saw them coming and you thought, well, I'll just walk out of this door, there's unforgiveness. If you can't go towards them in love, you need to deal with that. So relationships are severed. Family relationships are severed. Finances, if the enemy is able to get in and is destroying your finances, you need to look, say, Lord, is there any root of unforgiveness in my heart? And then the third thing is physical. If there's areas of physical, like the enemy's just attacking your body, you're sick and the doctors can't find out. Many times bowel problems, arthritis, we've seen Crohn's disease. There was a lady in Muleshoe who came with, you know what Crohn's disease is? It's a bowel problem. It cannot be cured. It's the doctors just help you get through it, but you will eventually die of it. This woman came, she said, I've got Crohn's disease. As she listened to the message, she was laid on the floor, and on the floor the Lord said to her, go and forgive your mother. She had root of unforgiveness against her mother. She went home that very night, called her mother, and forgave her mother for all the stuff that her mother had put on her all through the years. She went back to the doctor. The doctor said, you've got 6 inches of ulcerative colitis. I can't find any Crohn's disease at all in your life. 3 months later, we were in a meeting in Lubbock, and she came to me and she said, the doctor has given me a total clean bill of health. Healed. I want to tell you, if there's something in your life, Jesus said, by my stripes you're healed. That's what he said. I sent forth my word to heal their diseases. If there's an area of in your life that you cannot get healing for, look for. Now, this is not a witch hunt. It's just going before the Father saying, Lord, is there any route where the enemy is able to get into my life and destroy my vineyard? Ask him. You'll be amazed what the Spirit of God will show you. But deal with the little foxes. The little foxes is what's going to try and steal that place of intimacy with you. See, the Lord wants to take his bride right into the place of intimacy. Last night we had a party at church. Wasn't it fun? We danced, we laughed, there were angels all over us singing. It was party time. And you know, how much more fun to dance before the Lord than to dance in the world? You know, I mean, God is the one who created the dance. Did you know that? The devil did not. The religion has kicked the dance out of the church. But God created the dance. The dance is all through the Word. And so we had a party. A few years ago, maybe 2 years ago, I had a vision, and I want to share this vision with you because it kind of brings it all together. I was standing in the morning service, and it was during the invitation time. John was being ministering, and I was just standing like this before the Lord, and I had a vision, and I saw myself just walking and dancing through this field, all over the green, wonderful hills, and I was walking with the Lord, and we were just talking and having fun, and I was just running, and we'd stop and we'd talk, and it was just the most wonderful time of Him communing with me and just enjoying each other's presence. And the Lord was right there with me, and we were just walking and dancing and loving it. And then He said, "Come, Beverly, I want to take you up the hill to my tent." So I went up the hill with Him in my vision, and I went into the tent. And as we got inside the tent, He stopped and He faced me, and He put His arms around me. And I put my arms around me, and the most amazing thing happened. It's like He became almost, I don't know how to explain it, but He became translucent. And He came right into me. So that all I could see was me, but I knew He was inside of me. And I just stood there, and He began to speak to me. And He said, "Beverly, I want you to go and see what's down in the valley." I went down the valley, halfway down the hill, and looked into the valley. And in the valley, people were having a party. They were dancing. They were drinking the new wine. They were having so much fun. They were just, I mean, it was a party time. Balloons and streamers. And it was just wonderful party time. And He said this to me. He said, "From this day forth, I want you to be a beckoner. I want you to beckon my bride from the party time into the place of intimacy with me." You know what? If all we ever do is have a party, we've only got halfway there. We've got to come from the party. If all we ever do is just dance and go crazy, we've got to come from the party into the place of intimacy with Him. And I said, "Oh Lord, wherever I go, I will beckon your bride to come to the party, to drink of the new wine. But don't stay there. Let Him draw you into the inner chamber. Let Him take you into that place of intimacy." And I've got 6 points, and I'm going to just deal with maybe two or three this morning, and I'll finish it off tomorrow. The very first thing is this: if the bride wants to come from the party into the tent, just like we read in Song of Solomon chapter 1 and verse 4, where the bride says, "The king has brought me into his chamber." If you want to come into His chamber, number one is you've got to come alone. I want to tell you, I can't come hanging on John's coattails, and he can't come hanging on my coattails. I've got to come alone. I've got to come alone. You've got to come alone. You can't stand behind your wife, husband, and think, "Well, she's the spiritual one in the family. You know, I go to church because she wants to go to church." I want to tell you, those days are over. You can't stand behind your husband, lady, and say, "Well, you know, my husband is the strong one. I'm just under." You come alone into the chamber. This is one thing that you do alone. It's between you and Him alone. I say, "Lord, yes, I want to have a party with all of your people, but I want to come alone into your place of intimacy. I come alone." You see, that's where fruitfulness takes place. That's where He can change you. That's where the oils are poured over you. That's where He just takes you and transforms you into His likeness. But you come alone. I found three ladies in the Old Testament who came alone into the king's chamber. The first one was Rebecca. Do you remember Rebecca, the story of Rebecca? In Genesis 24, you can go home and read it. It's a glorious story. And I was reading it in my new Amplified Bible when it was new. What we like to do is like we get a new Bible. Every time we read through it, we get a new one. And so it's like I was reading through Genesis 24, and it's like I was reading it for the first time. There were no red scribbles or marks or, you know. It was like a brand new page. And I read it through, and the Lord began to speak to me. Genesis 24 is the story of Abraham saying to his main top dog servant, Eliezer, says to him, "Eliezer, I want you to go back to the land that I came from, the land of Mesopotamia, and I want you to get a wife for my son, Isaac." I mean, that's really a tall order. I mean, it's hard enough finding a wife for yourself, let alone for somebody else. But Eliezer prays fervently. He loads up 10 camels worth of some of his master's goods. He goes back to the land of Mesopotamia and he says, "Oh God, give me favor with you. When I come to this well," and he goes back to the town of Nahor, the city of Nahor, and he says, "When I come to this town, may there be the young girl who comes out and offers me drink and offers to water my camels also. May she be the virgin that you have purposed for my master Isaac." And you know the story so well. He comes to the well, and as he comes, there comes Rebecca. She comes on out. He goes to her, asks her for a drink, and she says, "Yes, I'll give you a drink, and I'll water all your 10 camels also." You know what a big job that was? Camels are extremely thirsty, and they drink a lot, much water. And she works for hours watering these camels, and it's settled in Eliezer's heart, "This indeed is the bride for my master Isaac." You remember how Rebecca takes him home? Well, before she takes him home, he gives her a nose ring. My Bible says a nose ring or earrings. I was hoping it was earrings rather than a nose ring. But a big gold nose ring or earrings and gold bangles. And then just to say thank you for, getting the water for my camels, then she takes him back to the house and he tells his whole story to her father and mother and son Laban. Brother Laban. And they eat and they make merry and they decide that, yes, this indeed is God, and she needs to go with Eliezer back and marry Isaac. And the next morning, the servant is all ready to go. The servant gives some more gifts to Rebecca's mother and her brother, and he just gives gifts all around, gives her some more gifts, and they have a wonderful Christmas, right there. And the next morning, they're ready to go back home. And Eliezer says, "Pack up the camels, let's go." And Rebecca's brother and mother come to him and say, "You can't take her yet. Let her stay for at least 10 more days." You know, I've read the story. I've known the story forever, but I've never seen that in the Word. And he says, let them just stay another 10 days, and then you can take her. But you know what? Rebecca was one smart lady. She figured, if this, all of these gold jewelries, garments, all these wonderful things Eliezer had bought from our master's house, if he brought all this stuff, and these are just a small sample of his riches, can you imagine how rich my master must be, Isaac and Abraham must be? And so they say to her, "Well, Rebecca, what do you want to do? Do you want to stay 10 more days, or do you want to go with a stranger?" And she says just 3 words. She says, "I will go." She was willing to leave father and mother. She was willing to leave her security, all that she knew, everything that was comfortable and secure around her. She was willing to leave it all to go into the tent and be the wife of Isaac. I want to tell you, she was a smart lady, because in that tent were all the riches. Too many of us have been willing to settle to play with the trinkets, the little gifts, and we haven't gone for the big inheritance. We've been happy with a little few bracelets and a few earrings and a nose ring here and there and a few extra garments. And he's saying, "I've got so much more in the tent. You need to come into the tent." Do you see what I'm saying? Preachers that are here, that will really preach. You could preach a long time on that little story. But I've just touched the surface. I want to tell you, we need to set our hearts to go into the tent. The second person that the Lord showed me was Ruth. And you remember the story of Ruth. And she was a Moabitess, and Naomi and her husband had gone into Moab during a drought in Bethlehem. And they got married, and the husbands had died. And now she has two, Ruth is the daughter-in-law of Naomi. And Naomi wants to go back to Bethlehem. And you remember what Ruth said to Naomi. She said, "Oh, forbid me not to leave you. Where you go, I will go. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Where you live, I will live. Where you die, there they will lay me also." And Ruth was prepared to absolutely leave everything she knew. She left her family. She left her comforts. She left her traditions. She left her religion. Oh, boy, is this big. She left everything. everything that was comfortable to her in order to follow Naomi and go and find her Boaz. She left everything she knew. How many of you know, we've got a friend in Morton, West Texas, and he says, you know that the devil's got an MCR plan. Do you know that? The devil has an MCR plan for every one of God's children, friends and family. Friends and, I'm telling you, we are more worried about friends and family. What's my wife going to say? What's my husband going to say? If I turn the TV off and go and just want to say, I just want to be alone with the Lord, or I'm just going for a walk, what are they going to think? What's my kids going to say? I mean, what is my church going to say? The devil's MCR plan. I'm telling you, we've got to see it as a devil. And we've got to set our hearts just like Ruth did, just like Rebecca did, and just like the third one, Esther, did. Absolutely set our hearts, turn from the going this direction to turn to going that direction. Lord, I know we can party, but Lord, I want to go into the tent. I want to be intimate with you. You've got to come alone. You've got to come alone. You cannot take anybody else with you. You can't say, well, if she goes, I'll go. Or if he goes, I'll go. Well, we'll just do it. You come alone. It's between you and him alone. The second thing about this is this. If you want to be intimate, the Lord said, not only do you come alone, but you have to learn to be a good receiver. You've got to learn to be a good receiver. Now, I realize that this is harder for men than it is for women. Because women are used to being receivers. You know, it comes more naturally to a woman to be a receiver. And especially preachers. I mean, preachers are so used to giving out and always being the one to having the word in season and giving out and, you know, being responsible. And the Lord says, I want to make you a good receiver. If you want to be my bride, you've got to learn to be a good receiver. Ephesians 5, and I referred to this previously. Ephesians 5, Paul says that Jesus loved the church. He says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ, the anointed one, loved the church. And this is what he was going to do for the church. This is what the bridegroom, this is what Christ, the anointed one, was going to do for us. It wasn't what we were going to do for ourselves. It's what he was going to do for us. He gave himself, number one, for her, to sanctify her, to cleanse her, and to present her with no spot, no blemish, no wrinkle, holy and totally blameless. Isn't that fantastic? Who of you want to be that? I'm telling you, I've got both my hands in the air. I want to be that, and I want to tell you, I'm getting there. Because as I spoke on Tuesday, it's like as I'm yielding to the Spirit, he's taking out those blemishes. He's taking out those spots. He's taking out those wrinkles. He's taking out all the unholy stuff. And he's making me into what he wants me to be. You know, the word says, be he holy, for I am holy. And we've used that to thunder from the pulpit. You've got to clean up your act. You're not allowed to smoke. You're not allowed to drink. You can't watch bad movies. We put all these rules and regulations on people. And thinking that this, if you keep to these number 10 rules and regulations, you will be holy. Now, how many of you know that doesn't change a thing? All it changes is conduct. It doesn't change your heart. Jesus is so much more interested in working on your heart. He wants to work on your heart. That's where it all is. And when your heart is totally turned, just like Ruth, instead of going that direction, it's totally 180% turned towards him. That's when all those things will take place. He's the one who turns your heart. You just got to say, Lord, I'm yielding to you. I'm yielding to your Spirit. And the Spirit of God will come in and he'll begin to change you. How many of you this week have felt a change in your heart? I mean, look at that. It's fantastic. God is doing such a wonderful thing. And how many of you know that you didn't have to do anything to do it? What did you do? You came forward and John wouldn't even let you pray. He said, do not pray. Quit all that. I mean, some of you, oh God, please, please, I'm here. Da, 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 da. And he's saying, don't even pray. What did you have to do? Just yield. You just had to receive. Just yet, I yield to your Spirit. Now, let me just tell you this. You yield to the Spirit in your spirit, man. Not up here in your mind. This is where you yield. This is what I'd like to tell people. Put your mind on a straight, flat line. You know how the heart, when you have a heart beeper, you know how it goes like this? When your heart beeps. And when a person's dead, it's just like straight line. Do you know what I'm talking about? Straight line. You see it on a monitor. You've seen that on the TV. Put your mind into a straight line. I refuse to think. I'm bringing every thought captive to the anointed one, Christ. Straight line. Now, Lord, I open up my spirit. What the Lord plants in your spirit eventually will be manifest in your mind. But let open up your spirit. And as you open up your spirit and you lie there on the floor and you think, I don't feel anything, I don't know what's going on, come tonight, John's going to teach on that. But I'm yielding to your spirit, Lord. I'm just yielding to your spirit for you to do in me, to remove the spots, to remove the blemishes, to make me just like Jesus. And you know what? I want to tell you this. I am more holy today than I was 1 year ago. I am, because I've been yielding to the Spirit. I am more sanctified today than I was 1 year ago. I am more without spot or blemish. My husband will tell you that. I'm not lying. Your family is your best test, you know. You can live. I can stand up here and preach to you all day, but you don't know who I really am back at home. They do. I'm changing. I am more glorious today than I was a year ago, but I'm not more as glorious as I'm going to be a year from now. See, it's ever changing from one degree of glory into another, from one degree of holiness into another, from one degree of sanctification into another. I am just yielding to the Spirit and allowing Him to change my desires, to change me on the inside so that He can have everything He wants in my life and I can be His beautiful bride. I got to learn to be a good receiver. Quit striving. Yeah. Quit striving. You know, I've had people come up to me and say, you know, the Bible is absolutely dead. I don't get a thing out of it. You know what I want to say to you is this. Just close your Bible for a bit. Because so many times, now this makes people shaky. So many times, we're reading our Bible as a good luck charm. Well, I've got to read my Bible, even if it's just two verses. It's a good luck charm so the devil won't get me today. Close your Bible and allow the turtle dove to sing again in the land. And allow Him to woo you as a lover. And then He'll show you where to read. The Word will jump out of the pages to you. There are times that I will spend and I will read. You can ask John this, I'm not lying. I will sit and I'll read for ages. And then I won't read for 2 or 3 days. Because all that I've read is just churning in my spirit. And I'm just chewing on it. And it's like the Word is filling our minds and the Word is filling our hearts. But the Spirit of God is opening up the Word to us. You see, we've got to quit from our striving. Allow the turtle dove to woo us again into His presence. And go into His presence and just allow Him to speak to you. Speak to you. Learn to be a good receiver. Number 3 was this. That ministry will flow out of intimacy. Ministry will flow out of intimacy. In John chapter 15, and I'm going to take time just to read this. John chapter 15 and verse 1 through 5. Very familiar passage of scripture. Jesus says this, I am the true vine and my Father is the wine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I remember a number of years ago reading in the Charisma magazine a letter written to Marilyn Hickey. And this new, brand new preacher's wife had just gone to a church. And she wrote to Marilyn Hickey and said, Marilyn, I'm brand new. Just come to this church. How can I start a ministry in the church? And out of the wealth of experience, Marilyn Hickey answered her question and said, do not seek a ministry, but seek an intimate relationship with Him. And out of that relationship will flow a ministry. I want to tell you, that's the most profound thing I've said all day. Out of the intimacy of your relationship with Him will flow a ministry. If you were to see my kids, you would know who I've been to bed with. If you were to see my kids, you'd know who I've been to bed with. You would know who the father is. Bradley pictured, when they see a picture of Bradley, they say, he looks just like John. I want to tell you something. When you've gone, if you like, and I want to say this reverently, but when you've been intimate with Him and you've gone into the inner chamber with Him, the fruit of your life will look just like Him. It won't have the gammy prints of your hand on it. Too much of the stuff in the church these days look just like us. They've got our personality. They've got our own striving, our own way to do things. But when you've gone to bed with Him, the fruit of that relationship looks just like Him. You don't have to strive over it. It just happens. You know, these little vines in John 15. If you ever walked through a vineyard, we've got a vineyard real close to where we live, and we drive past it every time we go into the mid-cities. You know, I can't help, every time I look at that vineyard, I think of this. Because if you had to walk through a vineyard, and I mean, it's just, you know, just walk through the vineyard, you would not hear, I've got to work. Oh, I've got to make good grapes. They better be big grapes. They better be sweet grapes. Oh, I better work so hard. I've got to be so disciplined. I've got to, You don't hear that. It's the quietest place on this whole earth, a vineyard. I want to tell you, a vine is really, actually a pathetic plant. It's got to be, you know, braced up, and they drape all over a trellis because their bark is so weak. So they and their roots don't go down even very deep. And so they just sit there. I mean, all they are vines, okay? The roots go into the soil, they hang over a trellis, and all they do all day is soak up the sunshine, draw up the nutrients out of the soil, and hang. What a glorious picture. And at the due season, in the fullness of time, the farmer comes along and he says, looky there, grapes, wonderful, big bunches of grapes, fruit. Oh, it's so good. But I'm just being a vine. I can't even hold myself up. If it felt like that? Can't even hold you. I've got to hang over this trellis. I want to tell you something. That's all He ever wanted you to do. You just to abide in Him and let His life abide in you. Isn't that exactly what happened in that tent? He came into me. I abide in Him and He abides in me. And out of the fruit of that intimate relationship with Him, of just enjoying Him, enjoying the sunshine of His love, enjoying the nutrients and the moisture coming up from the soil, from His Word, just hanging in there. Fruit of my life looks just like Him. Looks just like Him. I had lunch a little while back with a friend, and we just sat at soup and salad and ate and, you know, had a nice sweet time, talked about dogs and kids and Jesus, because He's just the one person in my life that's the most important person in my life. And when she went back to her office, she wrote me a little note. She scribbled me a note and she said, you know, I feel like I just had a bubble bath. And the fragrance of those bubbles are still lingering with me. Thank you so much for lunch. Now, I wasn't super spiritual. I got a word from God for you. I was just me. You know, when I walk in the mall, I'm just me. When I witness, it just happens. It's just me. I don't think, oh, I got to keep my four spiritual laws. I haven't witnessed to anybody today. And I go, no, I'm just me. Naturally, supernatural, hanging over the vine, receiving His love, letting His life flow out of me because I've been intimate with Him. Ministry will flow out of intimacy. I want to tell you, it's going to happen all the way around you. It's going to be the most amazing, supernatural, exciting time of your life. But you've got to be willing to say, Lord, partying is fun, but oh, I'm setting my heart to be intimate with You. See, we can party at church, But it's at home that we get intimate with him. I love what Ruth Ward Heflin is, and I wish every one of you would buy that book. It only costs $8. We're not making a bunch of money off it. It's much cheaper than you'd ever find it in a shop. But you need that book, Glory. It's short, it's sweet, it's glorious. You'll want to read it over and over and over again. And that is just not an exaggeration, I promise you. It's very easy reading. But she says this. This is her thesis for the whole book. You praise until the spirit of worship comes. Then you worship him and you focus in on him and you worship in him and you love him until the glory comes. And then you stand in his glory. Whoa, is that big? I want to tell you, so many of the church are still back there in praise. Every now and again we step over into worship, but it's not often we enter into his glory. But that's where he's taking his bride. Where the manifest presence of his glory is all around us. Oh, precious bride of Christ, he's wooing you. The sound of the turtle dove is again heard in the land. Will you come up into the tent and into his chambers? Let's pray. Father, I bless you. Oh, you're so wonderful. You're so good. You're so full of kindness. And Lord, even as I've been speaking, I know the turtle dove has been singing. It's like within, the Lord just told me, in every heart here today, he has created a hunger. The turtle dove has wooed you. The love bird is singing over you. And he's wooing you. He's saying, come, I love you. I love you. I love you. Don't listen to the lies of the devil that says you're inferior. You're not good enough. You're not worthy enough. Look at you. Look how you sin. Look, you do this, this, this in your life. God doesn't want you. That's a lie. You know what? He's tried those lies out on me. And he tries them out on every one of us. Now, if we had to see him as a little devil, we'd recognize him. But I'm just telling you, I'm exposing his lies today. He loves you. You are special to him. You're special. He's put his favor upon you. Oh, Lord, I ask you that in the secret place you will draw us. We'll hear your voice and you'll hear our voice. And we'll allow you to see our form and we'll turn our face towards you and just be intimate with you. Oh, Lord, draw your bride. Draw your bride. Take away all the distractions. Draw your bride into your presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord, and you've said if I ask anything in your name, you will do it. So I'm asking this in the name of Jesus, that the seed of the word will go deep into the hearts of our soil of our hearts today. Deep. I see the Holy Spirit with a big finger. And he's put a tiny little seed, just the grain of a mustard seed. I want you to see this picture. He's put it on the soil of your heart. And he's taking his big Holy Ghost finger and he's pushing it down into the soil of your heart. Just receive it. I guarantee you it'll bear fruit if you don't pull it out. It'll bear fruit. And the way you water it is just to yield to the Spirit and allow him to grow it in you. The seed is the word. The seed has life in itself. It's the Holy Ghost life. It's Holy Spirit life. Just receive it. Receive it. Open up your spirit, man, right now and receive that word and say, Lord, take me into your chamber. I want to abide in you and I want you to abide in me so the fruit of my life may look just like you. Thank you, Lord. I give you praise. Give you praise.
This is the conclusion of this teaching. You have been listening to the ministry of John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this and other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com. God bless you and thank you for listening.